Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm your host, Sammy Womack, a nationally recognized money expert, budgeting coach, and your very own hype squad. I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Just a reminder that everything discussed in today's episode will be linked in the show notes. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Threads at A Sunny Side Up Life. If you're ready to take control of your money and need guided instructions, check out my free budgeting challenge by going to asunnysideuplife.com. Now, let's get into the episode. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. Today's episode, I am going to go off script today. I haven't done an off script episode in a while, and I just kind of had a message on my heart that I felt like sharing with you guys. I kind of shared this message a couple weeks ago on my Instagram story. It got a lot of response over there. So I thought, you know what, let's dig into this topic a little bit more and let's talk about this on the podcast. And I haven't done a, hey, let's just chat kind of episode in a while. So I have my coffee with me. You know, Joe might have to edit out some, you know, coffee cup hitting the desk, which he loves to do. But we are here to chat today. So what I was sharing over on my Instagram story was about a week or two ago, I had a kind of a goal achievement in my fitness journey. I have a goal to do a May the 4th 5K with my sister. I have never done a 5K. Both of my sisters have run 5Ks, 10Ks. Like, this is kind of their thing that they do together. And I have never participated because to me, just a lot of different reasons, running for no reason. Why would you do it? Right. Until recently. And I have decided that that's a goal I want to do. I don't know if this is something I'll stick with or if this might just be a one and done. And hey, that's not really for me. We're going to find out. Right. So first thing I did was Googled how many miles is in a 5K because hello, I'm an American and you know, everything's in miles. So I Googled that 3.1. I'm like, wow, okay, yeah, it's not too bad, especially if I kind of do a walk run combination. I'm not planning on running the whole entire thing quite yet. So I'm like, all right, 1.3 or 3.1. Oof, I'm going to put it backwards. That would be nice. No, 3.1. I'm like, that's my goal on the treadmill. So I've been kind of going to the gym on the treadmill. I walk a lot in my neighborhood with my sister. And I'm like, I know I can do 1 to 2 miles. My sister and I can walk 2, 2.5 miles. If we get to talking and, you know, time flies, right? Like 3, it's kind of pushing it. Running some of that, kind of pushing it. So I've been working on that. Anyway, recently I achieved that. It was my first time to go that distance on the treadmill. And I was just really, really proud of myself and really in my feels. So I, of course, jumped on Instagram stories to share my win and cried on Instagram stories, which is, you know, always a great look. And I really got in my feels and really got reflective. And that's kind of where here we are with this episode. So in that Instagram story, I was sharing that this was not, obviously not an overnight success. And I shared with you guys that I started working with a trainer, Chloe, which you guys are going to hear an interview with her very, very shortly on the podcast. It is going to be great. And at that time, it had been 5 weeks that I had been working with her. And I was like, you know, but not even that. Like, this obviously was not an overnight, but this was not even a 5 weeks in the making. This was 5 years in the making. And here's my thought behind this. When I actually probably farther than that, to be really, really honest with you. But when I first started my intentional living journey, and I just say intentional living because once you really dive into this lifestyle, it starts to spill over into everything you do. And I tell my clients this all the time. Money might be the first thing that you decide to check off this list, or it might be a little bit farther down the list. Maybe you've kind of tackled some other areas. But I feel like if you do it right and you have the right intention behind it, it will not be the last intentional living thing that you do, because it does start to spill over into every aspect of your life. Let me explain my thought process behind that. So when we first started our intentional living journey, it's been nearly 10 years at this point. For us, my family, that started when I decided to quit working full time. In between our first and second daughters, I had a miscarriage. At that time, I was working usually about 60 hours a week outside of the house. I was running my family's auction business at the time, the business that my grandpa and my mom still run and still work 40 to 60 hours a week at. At that time, I literally worked 6 days a week, very, very long days. A lot of times I would eat out 2 to 3 meals per day, which if you've ever heard me talk about how when we first started, our restaurant budget was like $800 or $900 a month, not a budget, but our restaurant spending, because we weren't doing a budget, was $800 or $900 a month. That's how. I didn't sleep very much. I had no hobbies. My house was a disaster. It was really, really out of control. It was a very fast-paced living. It was a very unintentional, intentionality had no purpose, like no even thought in my head. I got up, I went to work. I ate all my meals from fast food. I came home, literally went straight to bed. I didn't clean. I didn't cook. I didn't have hobbies. I only had Sundays off, and Sundays were usually like a family dinner, maybe rushing to get some sort of groceries, rushing to get chores done. There was no rest. Rest had no purpose. I didn't even hardly watch TV. There was no decompressing. There was no time for mental health. And I drug June along with me through all of this when she was a baby and a toddler. So I had a miscarriage. All of the things that you tell yourself when you have a miscarriage, whether it was my fault or not, who will ever know? But of course, you always default to blaming yourself. I was very unhappy and I was very exhausted. And my marriage was suffering. My relationship with my daughter was suffering. There was no really intentionality in my parenting, even though she was with me literally 24/7. It was usually a hurry up, take a nap in my office so I can get my work done. You know, we did have good memories, and my therapist is like, you did have good memories. Let's remember, you know, our brains tend to remember the bad ones. Anyway, it was a dark season of my life. It was a very busy, chaotic, expensive, debt-filled season of my life. I had this kind of slap in the face almost when this miscarriage happened. And I thought, you know, I really do want to have another baby. We were trying to get pregnant when we had the miscarriage. And I was blessed with Isabel 2 months later. And it happened so fast that a lot of people didn't even know we had a miscarriage, because I got very excited and I told everybody we were pregnant. Then we lost that pregnancy. But the conceptions were so close together that most people didn't even know that Isabel wasn't that first pregnancy. Anyway, very blessed in that sense. And I decided I'm done. I'm going to go home. I'm going to have this baby. We're going to figure it out financially, how I cannot work. Of course, everything started crashing down. As soon as you decide to stop, you just hard hit the emergency brake. Everything crashes behind you. And my nervous system crashed. Depression. I was pregnant. We had no money because now I wasn't working. We were already living beyond our means, even with me bringing in money. It was just a very hard stop, and it crashed very hard. And we kind of lived that way for like the majority of my pregnancy and the first few months of Isabel's life. There wasn't a lot really to do more than kind of survive because everything was just such a mess. And it was in that time, it was during her first few months, I feel like, I can't remember exactly, because of course all of that's kind of a blur at this point, that I discovered minimalism through several different people who were sharing on Instagram at this time. It was kind of becoming trendy. It was kind of becoming like an intentional living, like regain your motherhood type of movement. And it was very popular. And I'm so, so grateful for that time. So my intentional living journey really started the first, I feel like, big subject or like section kind of that I checked off was my home. And so at the time we were living in our 3,200 square foot house and we couldn't afford it, number one. And it was massive. That's not counting the garage. That's not counting two outside buildings that were all stuffed, full of stuff. And we're buried under so much clutter, so much debt, so much dysregulation in like our nervous system. Like we didn't know how to rest. I didn't know how to rest. I didn't have any hobbies. Like I just totally crashed. So I tackled the house first. And I was sharing this with a family member the other day because she was kind of asking me like how do you be a minimalism? So tell me the minimalism 101, Sammy, like, where do I start? So I was kind of reliving this, telling her these early days. So what I actually did when I first started my minimalism journey was, for one, I read several books and I listened to several podcasts and, you know, found people who inspired me, which I think you should always do. It's great. Find real life examples, even if those real life examples are on Instagram. Find examples of people who are doing the thing you want to do. It makes it more tangible. It makes it more like, hey, that girl's doing it. I can do it too. So that's what I did. I also drew a map of our house. I just drew it out, janky, you know, on a piece of computer paper. And I went through each room, room by room. And I would go in, you know, walk in the room, in the doorway, go to your right, every single thing in order in the room, I had to touch the thing, pick it up. You know, if it was a shelf full of knickknacks, you know, every single thing off the shelf, touch every single item in that room and clean it. If you're going to keep it, dust it off, put it back. If you're not, if it's trash, put it in the trash. If you're going to get rid of it, sell it, donate it, whatever, put it in your get rid of pile. And I went through the whole house like this, room by room. Obviously, this took me a very long time. And I slowly pared things down. And eventually to the point where in less than 2 years, we sold that house and moved into a 600 square foot rent house, two bedroom, one bathroom, from four bedrooms, two and a half bathrooms. So we were able to pare our stuff down that much in about 2 years. That was the first big thing I did. When I took back control of my house, my environment, my days in general, because obviously I had much less chores to do. The house was much easier to maintain. I knew where everything was. Everything was organized. It was life altering. For the past 4 years, I've worked with over 100 clients one-on-one, real women who took action on making big changes to their finances. My coaching sessions are designed to give you completely personalized budgeting support. Together, we'll organize your bills, build better spending habits, pay down your debt, build your savings, and invest for the future. I'll help you get a system in place that will set you up for success for years to come. I'll answer all of your questions along the way, talk you through all of your mindset blocks, and most of all, I'll be there to hold you accountable. So this time will be the time that you'll finally stick to your budget and make those dreams a reality. Visit asunnysideuplife.com/coaching to apply today to see if one-on-one budget coaching is right for you. The next thing I did, and this is while we were still in the big house, was my budget. So even though I think the budget was probably the most life-altering, it actually was the second thing that I did, which is, I don't know, kind of interesting to me. I don't know if that's funny or not, but that was the second thing I did. So I had been doing kind of this minimalism thing for a few months, maybe, I don't know, it was like 4 months, 6 months, something like that. And then I'm like, you know, now that like I have all my bills and paperwork organized in one place, I threw out all the trash and I know where everything is, you know, I should probably like pay some of this debt. So I got on a budget and I got our finances organized, and I actually kind of had the time and I had the mental capacity to take on another task. And I think that right there is the key. The mental capacity to take on the task. And sometimes you're not 100% ready. Sometimes one part of your brain is ready because one part of your brain is screaming for a change. And the other part of your brain is like, no, we're exhausted. And that's the challenging part right there. That's make or break, is when you decide which side of your brain you're going to let win this time. And I saw this amazing reel. I already wanted to plan to talk about this topic. And then I saw this reel that was so on topic, just on topic, so perfect. I'm going to link it in the show notes for you guys so you can listen to the exact wording. But I'm going to summarize. It says, your nervous system will choose a familiar hell rather than an unfamiliar heaven. I was like, wow. Your nervous system's job is to keep you safe. And to your nervous system, safe means comfortable. And comfortable is that familiar hell. Comfortable is staying buried in your clutter. Comfortable hell, familiar hell, comfortable is staying buried in your debt, is staying busy, because what will happen if you sit still? I don't know. What if I have to think my thoughts and feel my feelings? That's scary. So I think I'll just stay busy because that's what I'm used to. That's familiar to me. Familiar is not prioritizing your fitness, your health, your relationships, is staying in a bad relationship because that's familiar. It's staying in a bad work environment because it's comfortable, because it's normal. It's what we know. So your nervous system is like, no. We know how to handle this. Let's stay here. The unknown is the unfamiliar heaven. You don't know, but that option is actually going to be way better, but it's scary because it's unknown. And I remember, and I just like, I saw this reel and I was just like, that's exactly how it is. And I remember that feeling of right before I quit working to go stay home. I remember feeling like, I don't know. I don't know who I am if I sit still. I don't know who I am if I rest. I don't have any hobbies left. Of course I did, because I eventually found all of my old hobbies. You know, I went back to art. I went back to painting, drawing, sewing, all the things that I did as a teenager and a kid, and things that brought me so much joy. I eventually found those. I rediscovered all of those. I discovered TV shows. I discovered my love of watching baseball. I, you know, did all these things that I was like, at first, I was like, who will I be if I stop? Because my identity was so wrapped up in my busyness. I carried that so much as not only a badge of honor, but a label of who I am. This is how I identify as this busy person who has no time to rest or have hobbies. Who has the time? You know, I think it's like a reel or something. Anyway. And I was the same way with my money. I identified so much with that chaos and that debt. I identified so much with making jokes about being broke. I identified so much with we can't afford it. That was my familiar hell. That's where I was comfortable. The unfamiliar heaven is where I am now. And it seemed really out of reach. I never would have thought that normal people, normal middle-class people with average incomes could cash flow vehicles. I never thought that one, retiring at all, two, retiring early was ever in a scope of reality for us. I never thought that we could ever use credit cards responsibly to travel hack. I thought everybody had credit card debt. I thought everybody overdrafted their bank accounts. I thought everybody didn't know how to invest. I thought people that invested and had millions of dollars must have just lucked into it, must have been like a trust fund kid or must have won the lottery. I didn't know that regular people could do this because that was so unfamiliar to me. That seemed impossible and scary. And I jumped. There is no being ready. There is no, I'm 100% ready to do this thing. You just have that part of you that is terrified of the unknown and that other part of you that is begging you to stay in the comfortable, familiar hell. And you have to decide which part of your brain is going to win. And I speak on this as someone with diagnosed anxiety and depression. I know what it's like. Every day is like that to a certain extent. Some days are easier than others. But almost every day, I have that part of my brain that says, just stay in bed. Nobody needs you. You're not that great. Just stay here and give up. It's comfortable. It's safe. Why try? It's dangerous out there. People could hurt you. You could hurt yourself. Just stay in this bed. Just go back to sleep. Every day. Is some days it's worse than others. Some days that's like a one and some days it's a 10, right? But every day it's that battle. And when you choose to jump, even when you're not ready, and you choose to dive in and start purging that first room, when you choose to dive in and make that first budget, pay off that first debt, then for me, that grew to I have some free time. I have some free mental capacity. I'm just a entrepreneur at heart. It's a curse, really. And honestly, when my money was kind of under control, my house was kind of under control, I was caught up on my sleep, my brain got really bored. And out of that boredom grew my business, grew, I want to have something to do outside of my kids, right? And I worked on it mostly just when they were asleep. It wasn't like a big part of my day at that point. That grew. The next major thing was my mental health that came on this list. So then at this point, fast forward, my business is a few years old. You know, we're doing great with our budget. We're in our tiny rent house. We're cash flowing things like crazy because that house was insanely cheap. And my mental health caught up with me. This was 2019. And it was when I first went to therapy, thanks to the encouragement of my amazing best friend, V. She made therapy feel not scary. She also made it feel relatable. I didn't feel like I belonged in an institution just because I needed to go talk to a therapist. She made it very normal and something that I had never seen exemplified in real life, which is why, you know, broaden your horizons, have friends that are doing the things that you want to do, have examples. And that saved me. I will be really honest with you. There's different levels of all these different aspects that saved me. Therapy saved me. Medication saved me. Because at this point, I kind of crashed mentally because on paper, and I remember telling my therapist this, on paper, everything was perfect. My business was doing great. I had 3 kids at this point. They were all doing great. My marriage was doing great. Our money was doing great. We had this tiny, tiny house that took like less than an hour to clean every day. I had so much free time. I had really dove into so many different hobbies at this point. So many hobbies. I had so much free time. And I'm like, on paper, everything looks perfect. So why do I feel so awful? Why is my brain telling me to give up? We're just going to put it very PG right there. Why is my brain telling me to give up on life? And she's like, that's depression. So I was like, but I'm not sad. Because I'm probably one of the happiest people you'll ever meet. Always laughing, always joking, always smiling. I'm not sad. And she's like, yeah, you're not sad. You're depressed, friend. It's two different things. And that was my first journey into mental health. At this time, I got on Zoloft, which I'm very transparent about the fact that I'm still on Zoloft ever since 2019. So 5 years now. I'm happy to report that I'm still alive, thanks to probably Zoloft. At that time, I did also get on Xanax. I have since, long time, been off of Xanax, but I'm very transparent on the fact that I was on Xanax. I literally needed Xanax to get out of bed. My anxiety was so bad that I would wake up shaking, that I would wake up so anxious that I could not even function. And I remember for a period of time here, several months, not quite a year, probably. I would literally wake up. I would take a Xanax. I would go back to sleep for 30 minutes to an hour. I purposely set my alarm early so I could get up, take my medicine, kind of doze back off or just lay in bed and wait for it to kick in. And then I could get up and be functionable. So I had to strategically plan my timing because I literally couldn't get out of bed. And I remember for several months there, taking that medicine and laying there in bed, feeling my body relax, feeling my anxiety kind of start to like fade away. Once I did that, once the medicine kicked in, I could get up and I could shower and I could take care of my kids and I could do all my responsibilities. And I had to like strategically time that or I literally couldn't get out of bed, which is an awful feeling, especially when on paper, you have everything that you want. Your life is quote unquote perfect and you still can't. And it makes no sense. And it's very confusing and it's very scary and you feel insane. You feel like I should be so happy. I should be so grateful. Maybe I'm just not grateful enough. Maybe I just haven't counted my blessings enough or something. And you just really feel like, why am I so broken? And that's where I was at that point. all of this, pushing forward, working through therapy, working through all these things. Eventually, I was able to get off of the Xanax and able to get out of bed on my own, which is, you know, a great feeling. And now my current task is my health and my fitness. And I feel like I've done these really big chunks, and my health and my fitness has always been the kind of my Achilles heel. Like, it has always been the thing that's helped, that I think my weakness, really. And I really had this moment. What really pushed me to finally take this part seriously was I had this thought of, that's it. That's like my one big box left to check off. And if I do that, like, gosh, I feel like I'll be unstoppable. And I was like, that's it. I guess that means it's time to do it. So here we are. And it's really scary. And I'm like fresh in this new era of doing this thing. Which all leads me back to my original point of this story. I didn't achieve that 3.1 miles on the treadmill a week or two ago overnight. It was literally 10 years in the making. It was 5 years in the making. It was 5 years from that day when I finally went to therapy and thought, I can't do this on my own. I need help. Because my life is not going to be stuck in this bed, because I literally can't function, because my hands are shaking so bad that I can't even like cook, because my anxiety was that bad, because my body doesn't know how to relax, because my brain is so high functioning. That day when I chose life over giving up, when I chose the unfamiliar heaven rather than the comfortable, familiar hell. Each one of those days, with my house, my money, my mental health, my fitness, my food, my business, my hobbies, each one of those days, when I chose the unfamiliar heaven, that was when I succeeded. The choice to jump, the choice to go, even when you're scared. You have to do it when you're scared. You're never going to be 100% ready. But that familiar, comfortable hell, that's when you lose. That's when you give up. And that was when I achieved those goals. It was 5 years ago when I decided to get out of that bed and not give up on my life. Choose that I was worthy of something better. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that everything is just rainbows and butterflies and perfect now, because it's not, and that's not real, and that's not reality. But it's a whole lot better. Overall, it's a whole lot better. Those little spurts of depression that flare up, because they do, are much, much shorter. They're a couple hours, a couple days. They're not all consuming of your entire life now. So the reason why I share this, and the reason why I feel like this message was on my heart, was because just like my family member who asked me recently about how to start minimalism, right before you start is the hardest part, is the scariest part. It's the most unknown. Who will I be if I don't have this chaos to identify with? Am I even worthy of this better life? Who do I think I am? It's going to be really hard. Or you're just so mentally and physically exhausted that you don't know if you can take on something else. And if that's you, much like this family member that I was having this conversation with, if that's you, I just want to remind you that that's where I started. That's where I started with my house, my money, my mental health, everything. And now I'm here. And I promise you that I am not special, that I am not above average. I'm regular and normal. And that if I can do this, you can do it. If I can sit here and tell you transparently about my therapy and my medicine and my struggles and the days that I wanted to give up on my life, even though I had three beautiful children and an amazing husband and money in the bank, and I still thought about giving up because that's real, then you can do it too. And if you're at the very beginning of any one of these journeys, just know that I was there once and that you can be here eventually. It's going to take a little bit because this is not an overnight flip the switch and here we are. It's a slow and steady progress. But that's what we want. We want true change. We want true growth. We want to evolve into a better version of ourselves. We don't want to just become a new person, light switch. Right? That's not what we want. We want to grow into a better version of ourselves. We want to take all those lessons, all that past trauma, all that used to be familiar, all that used to be comfortable. We want to take those lessons with us. We don't want to forget those. And we want to come out the other side the best possible version of ourselves who continues to grow, continues to evolve. So I just really had that message on my heart. Like I said, I shared a little bit about this on Instagram and a lot of you guys over there related to that. And hopefully this reaches who it needed to reach. So again, I will link to that reel that I was referencing because it was really great and share it. You know, I would love to see messages like this getting shared. Share this episode, especially if you know that there's someone around you that's struggling. Remind them that they're not alone. Remind them that there is life worth living. There's no shame in therapy. There's no shame in medicine. There's no shame in asking for help. There's no shame in reaching out, building a community around you of people who will support you, whether that is Instagram friends who become real life friends, whether that is hiring a therapist, hiring a personal trainer, you know, hooking up with a doctor professional that understands you and is slow and patient with you. It's building that community around you of support because this life is really hard. Being a human is wild and hard, but also amazing and beautiful. And I just wanted to remind you that you are also not alone. And that is all for me this week. Thanks for hanging out for another episode of a Sunny Side Up Life podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend and leave a review. 5-star reviews are what help the podcast grow. Don't forget to check out the episode show notes for links to everything that we talked about in today's episode. And if you want to access all of my free resources or you want to learn how to work with me one-on-one, head over to asunnysideuplife.com to get started. And if you want to keep up with me in the day-to-day, don't forget to follow me on social media at asunnysideuplife. Well, that's all for me this week. Bye, guys.